We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hi, Blue Wire listeners. I'm Greg Olson. I'm excited to partner with Blue Wire to bring you TE1, a podcast where I interview the tight ends who have revolutionized the position. Listen in as I have raw, in-depth conversations with the all-time greats like Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, Travis Kelce, and George Kittle. We'll explore how the tight end position has changed over the last 60 years and what it takes to be the very best. Subscribe to TE1 from Blue Wire Studios today so you're ready for the August premiere.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Ooh. Oh! Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds. Middleton. Yes! Chris Middleton.
Back jumper. Got it!
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Hello and welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Today's episode is brought to you by TheraOne, NFL Sunday Ticket, and of course, the stalwart betonline.ag. I am joined, as always, by the incomprehensible, but in the good way, Rohan Kadi. Rohan, how's it going?
I'm doing all right. I'm very excited every time you hit record to see what the adjectives are going to be for me.
You know, I think what people need to keep in mind is I don't think about it before I'm like seconds away from saying it. Mid-sentence. It's very Michael Scott. I don't know where the sentence is going before I get there. And I always default to like marvelous. And I'm like, I know I've used marvelous, so I can't. So really, like, we're talking milliseconds here. Like, it's very precise. And then it just, I'm proud of how today's turned out. This is my post-game interview about the intro. Not bad. I think we can do better. We need to keep bringing energy and effort, which is what the Milwaukee Bucks did for at least a lot, most of their 121-107 victory to take a 2-1 lead over the Orlando Magic. They've snatched home court back, Rohan, and the score is a little deceptive. The Bucks were trouncing Orlando for most of this game. They let off the gas a little bit, plus the Magic finally started hitting threes, sort of end of the third, beginning of the fourth quarter, but they do close it out. No real scare, I don't think. At least I wasn't very worried. First in general here, what are your thoughts on this game three?
It was a solid victory by Milwaukee. They showed who they were as a team. They started to look like their normal selves again. It was a good old-fashioned beatdown.
Yeah, it was. And I think, again, like we've talked about this before, the final score, if Orlando's not hitting a ton of threes late, the Bucks certainly hold them under 100.
They were up 30 for a majority of the game.
Yeah, they were. And it, again, for me, the Bucks, I think, were up like 70-43 at halftime. But for me, it was all the defense. I mean, the defense at times tonight, truly impenetrable, even like in Kyle Korver's minutes. And I tweeted like the Bucks choking out Orlando on defense with Kyle Korver out there is like when Larry Bird would decide to just go lefty for a game just to prove he could do it. Like, what a tremendous flex, like what a cocky thing to be able to do. And they did it really just, and I mentioned this on Twitter a couple times. I tweeted good friend of the show, Brian Butch, about this. Like, their defensive scheme that can leave especially stretch big guys open sometimes and other shooters as well, it looks a lot less tenuous when they play with the focus and the absolute fire that they played with today. I mean, they take away shots that look like they're there. They don't let some shots happen just because it's like really dangerous to pass through this Bucks defense. They have a lot of guys who will snatch or punch a pass out of midair. They will, you know, crowd a driver and not even let him get a pass off. Like, they can be suffocating even despite, you know, this scheme that sometimes, I mean, I still think they should work on more stuff, but they make it work a lot better when they play with this kind of energy like they did today.
Yeah, it's just everything seems to click when they have the right mindset. It's just they're just a well-oiled machine out there when on defense, and this was on full display during this game. It was just, like I said earlier, it was just a beatdown, and it started on the defensive end.
Yeah, 100%. And that was encouraging to see. I mean, two games in a row now, the defense is still, I think, going to be the most important thing for Milwaukee. Some people will think they're a bad half-court offense team. I think they were second in the league in half-court offensive efficiency. So
that's an inside. First.
They were either second. I mean, maybe the bubble games brought it down. I think before the bubble, they might have been first. But that's a very inside the NBA take. Go to those guys for entertainment, not for real analysis, folks.
Championship Chuck. That was amazing.
It's a great show, but like they watch like the games on the network and maybe not even all of those, and that's it. So
I'm here for all the playoff P slander.
Oh, heavens, yeah. Oh my goodness, somebody had a great burn with that. Now I don't remember what it is, but anyway. Where should we start in this one, like with individual players or individual stuff? What stuck out to you? I'll give you the first, I can't even think of like a noun or a phrase. I want first go at it. I guess we'll go with
first
that.
First go at it. Okay. If we're going with G, wow, great segue. Let's go with Giannis.
he was all right tonight.
He was all right. You know, 35 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 2 turnovers. And so limiting that and 1 block, only 2 fouls. You know, in less than 31 minutes, casual 12 of 14 from the field, 2 of 3 from deep, 9 of 12 from the free throw line. He missed more free throws than he did field goals.
Actually, you kind of expect from Giannis, but for the free throw number to be just 3, that's pretty good.
Yeah. According to ESPN Stats and Info, Giannis becomes the 4th player in postseason history to average 30, 15, and 5 through his first 3 games. Joining KG, Kareem, and Wilt.
Weird stat, but I'll take it.
Remember the Woj tweet about Gordon Hayward?
Oh my, is this the Gordon Hayward thing?
Yeah, that was amazing. I can't remember off the top of my head that was, but
because so specific, like this many points, this many rebounds, this many assists, this 3-point percentage on this many looks per game,
22% usage rate.
Like what? Really
it's
says something.
Young
like
thing where it's Jordan, oh LeBron, Curry.
Just like that was such a like. What are you pushing here, Woj? Like, what does he know that we don't know?
Telling
for that tweet to make
about
any
Gordon
sense? Like, yeah, he's on a good team. That's what it tells you. Funny stuff. But yeah, Giannis.
No, Giannis is good. He was just he dominated this game. Clear and simple. He was hitting his threes. He was hitting every shot. He was struggling a little finishing at the rim earlier in like game one especially, and he's really cleaned that up, and he's just making everything, and it's like wild. The team does great when Giannis is great.
Yeah, the two things that really stood out outside from just the fact that he's now finishing all his shots again, I think both of his misses were jumpers, because I think he shot a fadeaway that just barely missed.
Yeah, and then a three that was missed.
And one of the threes, yeah. And he airballed the three, and I said, "No, I was like, listen, if he's going to make 40%, he can airball the other 60%. I truly don't care. And the great thing about Giannis is he doesn't care either. He does not get down about this kind of stuff. He just keeps going. And I think the other thing I know, like the threes are great. I don't even want to dwell on it too much just because I feel like it can be so mercurial, like it can switch so quickly how his threes are looking. But I think his form in the entire bubble has been terrific. I've really liked the way he's looked shooting them. I think he's picked great spots to shoot them. I think three per game attempts, pretty good number. I think anywhere from 2 to 5 is probably where I want to see. I don't want to see that many more. I don't want to see him use too many possessions that way because we know how effective he is within the arc. But they're looking good. They're looking confident. They're looking really good. But the fire he played with in this game, I mean, multiple times after one of his dunks, he's just letting out yells, and he's smart. He points himself away from everybody when he does it to make sure he doesn't get a tech. That's crucial in tech getting. Don't gesture at somebody, and we'll get to an incident regarding techs later. But really just a lot of energy. I mean, he dove for a loose ball up 17 in the fourth quarter after Chris hit a big three, and we'll also get to Chris later. He let out a big yell and a fist pump. Giannis is fired up, and I think the whole team is fired up. I couldn't be happier to see that. I mean, they looked way too listless, especially game one, throughout the seeding games, most of them, even a little bit in game two. And then they still got away from it a little bit in this game too, but they had pretty much put it away. I wanted to see more effort, but that seems like it's trending in the right direction to me. I think that starts with Giannis as the best player, you know, the focal point of the team. I want them to be fired up. Like, if they get mad sometimes about something, that's good. That's what I want to see. I want to see Brook Lopez pick up a bad foul. I mean, maybe I don't want to see him throw a chair every time. They might run out of chairs down there in the bubble. But I want to see the passion and the energy. I mean, you got to be a little careful. You got to focus it the right ways. But that's what leads to the defense just constricting it and everyone rotating so quickly and so crisply. This is not like a Kawhi-led team where they're just robotic and they go out there and do their jobs. This is not the Spurs, although they organizationally want to be like the Spurs. Like, they very much, they feed off of Giannis. They need that fire. It was there today.
Yeah, it was. It seems like game one was really the kick in the pants that they'd needed. So it might end up looking like a good thing that that embarrassing loss happened, because it looks like they really took it personally. Shout out Jordan. They've just been dominant ever since. They look like they care, which means that they're going to be playing really well. Because when the Bucks care, like I said earlier, they lock in and it's over for if you're the opposing team.
Yeah. Yeah, 9 times out of 10, it feels like. That'll get the job done. Let's get to the fight-ish. So I want to say off the top, James Ennis was not throwing a punch. It looked like that. I tweeted that a couple different points right away during the fracas. On further review, he was trying to get Marvin Williams' arm off him. I guess I should probably explain, if you missed the game, the situation I'm referring to. James Ennis took exception to a Marvin Williams box out during a three and shoved him a few times, or shoved him. Marvin Williams shoves back. James Ennis shoves again. What I didn't notice right away was Marvin Williams then grabs a fistful of James Ennis's collar and is kind of holding him by it. Marvin Williams like fights like an older dude. And he knows, I don't know, like,
it's the most fights, Marv way possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it seemed like he was half about to fight him and half like scolding him on his life choices. And James Ennis took exception. He was trying to tear the arm off of the jersey. It looked like a punch. I think he might have accidentally, inadvertently, mostly punched an official if Darvin Ham hadn't gotten in there and kind of absorbed it.
He did hit the official's arm too.
Oh, he got the arm. Yeah, he got his arm. Yeah. But it could have inadvertently shoved
Darvin Ham to the ground.
Poor Darvin. It's Ham Slam, which deserves better. But so I think I might a little Philly announcer with the hostile act thing. I don't think it was that bad in retrospect. They both got double tax.
There goes that Ennis.
There goes that Ennis. Ennis. The ref didn't know his name. What? He was Marvin Williams is out. And the other guy?
Yep.
Ennis? Like, because you think it's Enos Kanter? They both got ejected. I certainly don't think Marv is going to face any real penalty. And after watching
James
it again,
Ennis might, because he did make contact with an official.
Yeah, if anything, it would be that. I think he could get a game. After a headbutt gate, Giannis getting a game for that. I don't know. I could see it. I don't think it'd be ridiculous for him to get a game. I don't think I'd freak out if he didn't get a game. I don't know. I'm not moved that much one way or the other now.
It's James Ennis.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just like based on what he did, from it and seeing it in the context, I'm not nearly as fired up about it. But I love the energy from Marvin Williams. Honestly, like I love the when the Bucks have guys who
it's
are just
big
like
Uncle Juice energy.
Exactly. That's the best way to put it. I mean, like, just you need those guys who are going to go out there and get in someone's face. Like, it reminds me of when the Pistons got chippy with the Bucks, and Chris just immediately got in. I think it was Blake Griffin's face. Like, don't punk Giannis. Mm-hmm. Like,
he tried to step over Giannis.
Yeah, and Chris was like, "No, we're not doing this." Like, they need that energy. Ideally, guys like Marvin Williams and not like Giannis. Like, let's stay away from Giannis headbutts. Let's get into more Marv getting into guys' face, maybe with a little less jersey grabbing.
If only we had Thon for the flying leg kicks.
Oh my goodness.
Deep cut.
Shouts to a friend of the pod, Lazarus Jackson, who we were tweeting a little bit about Giannis's energy and is it too much for him to dive for loose balls late in the game? And he goes, "You can get energy guys from other places on the roster. Speaking of, do you guys want Thon back?" And I was like, "No. New. But thank you."
We had some league players around the league weighing in. Theo Pinson was like, "Marv is one of the nicest dudes I ever met, but he don't take no BS."
I love that. That's the perfect Buck, right? Because they have the no a-holes policy, but also you don't want to be soft. And I don't think the Bucks are soft. I think they look soft in game one. I don't think they are. And I think like having a guy like Marvin Williams, who like nobody really wants to test, that's just great for the team. I love it. I'm all about it. I wish he didn't get himself probably not suspended. We don't know yet. I don't think so, though. I wish he didn't get himself tossed, but still like to see the energy of just like not taking that crap when somebody is coming at you, pushing you and all that.
Yeah, but it was a little bit of entertainment. It was a little jolt in the action because the Bucks were like, I think that was right when they got up like 30. So it was just like, okay, so this game's over. So let's get a little something else to talk about in the game.
Yeah. And I think one of the interesting things about that happening, quick news burst, not really that relevant, but Woj just tweeted, "It's not believed Domantas Sabonis has been able to engage in basketball activity for past 6 weeks, rehabbing plantar fasciitis. There's no expectation he'll rejoin active roster if he gets back in the bubble." Pacers aren't looking great. I think Miami's probably going to take that series. I don't know if this would have mattered anyway, but it just, for anyone wondering, this concerns the Bucks second round series a little bit. Does not sound like Sabonis will be a factor in that series. But the thing I like to see, and people are still mad about Bud playing a lot of guys, I think he's just going to do that for this whole series. I don't think we're going to see that the whole playoffs, but Marv gets tossed, and then a lot of the expectation from a lot of people was, "Oh boy, oh brother, it's Ersan time." And my thing right away was, we've seen Pat play backup four and be good at it. This Magic team is pretty small without Aaron Gordon. I would rather see that. And that's what we saw. We did not see Ersan come in and play those minutes. He does get in this game, but not until true garbage time. How relieved were you to see, even in this perfect, seemingly perfect Ersan scenario, we don't see Ersan until much later?
It hurt me a little, because watching Ersan play basketball is insanely entertaining.
It's true.
If the thing is, it's good if you actually are invested in the Bucks, because just having Ersan start getting into the rotation in the playoffs is not great. There's no way that Bud would play Ersan against the Magic and not against like the Raptors or Celtics or Heat. Sorry, Indiana. But so not seeing him against the Magic just probably means that we're not going to see him really in the postseason at all, which is fairly good, because he got absolutely toasted last year. And just this is the perfect Marvin Williams role. You just need more athletic guys out there.
Yeah, exactly. I think probably the first since the playoffs have began, it was a definite positive sign for the rotations, though. I think without a doubt that's a win. Anytime, like, again, this was the perfect Ersan situation if there's ever been one, and to see him still not play really cements that he's out of the rotation firmly. And like you said, I mean, if he's not going to play in this series, I don't think anyone coming up is going to be any sort of a better matchup to try and hide him on defense. So I think he's pretty much just out. So and that obviously also probably carries a lot of weight in the decision to pay him or not next year. I think $7 million non-guaranteed. seeming more and more likely that that gets declined. But we'll get there in off-season primers that now it seems like won't be coming for at least a little bit longer. Certainly, the Bucks are going to get to the first round, it seems. But before we finish breaking down this Game 3 win, this generally positive thing, it's nice to see that. Just a quick word from our friends at TheraOne CBD. Rohan, from tight muscles, tough workouts, signs of aging, to simply making it through each busy day, everyone understands what it's like to be tense and sore. So everyone can benefit from TheraOne's CBD products. Started by Dr. Jason Wersland, TheraBody exists to provide you the best scientifically validated natural solutions to soothe your body and relax your mind. Of course, we all know it started with the revolutionary Theragun percussive therapy device when Dr. Jason saw the benefits of using CBD in his treatments. He created TheraOne to bring you CBD products done right. A lot of CBD products actually claim organic but have filler up to 30%, and those fillers can be potentially toxic. TheraOne tests their products 4 times before they get to you. Every product is USDA certified organic, grown in the U.S., and their extracts are the highest quality available. Use the warming lotion in your morning routine, the cooling lotion or massage oil to recover, the body balm for targeted relief, and of course, the sleep tincture to drift into a deep night's sleep. And now, through Labor Day, Monday, September 7th, it's coming up, TheraOne is offering our listeners a buy one, get one free for all TheraOne products. But you've got to go to theragun.com/bluewire. If you don't love what you get from TheraOne, send it back for a full refund within 30 days. This deal is not something they are likely to do again. Buy one, get one free at theragun.com/bluewire, but only until Labor Day. Go right now to theragun.com/bluewire. And tomorrow is Sunday, and there's no NFL football yet, but it's coming back in the NFL. With NFLSundayTicket.tv, you can stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite devices. Plus, Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels are included. You will never miss your favorite teams and favorite players. No matter where you live, NFLSundayTicket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to get 15% off your subscription. All you need to do is visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE. Let's talk about Chris Middleton. I think I said before the pod to you, one way or another, this is going to end up being a very Chris Middleton-centered podcast. I think what we saw in the game was probably like the performance that would get us to talk about him the least. I think he was just okay, but it does seem like, I mean, his line just ends up being okay. 17 points on 17 shots. He had 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, and 3 turnovers. So still a little bit sloppy, although he was a team best plus 30. He was making some threes. He was making some tough shots. The line just ends up okay, but it did seem like he was feeling a bit more himself in this one.
Yeah, it's definitely better. You said it's just 17 points on 17 shots. You know what's better? That's better than 2 points on 8 shots, which is what
you
we
know,
saw.
I'm not a mathematician, but I do think you're right.
Yeah, that is an insane improvement on what we saw in game two, which, you know, the Bucks did win, but it was still, it doesn't matter whether they win this game, like, convincingly or not with Chris Middleton, because they can win it without Chris Middleton, you know? But it matters in the later series. So it's really nice to see him actually get going. It seemed like right from the tip, they wanted to get, like, the Bucks wanted to get Chris Middleton going. They were getting him some shots early. It seemed like it was a point of emphasis to get Chris in rhythm. And while it didn't start right away, I think he missed his first like 2 or 3 shots. Then he started to hit him. And he was actually taking more shots. Like, it's good seeing him miss. Like, he missed 10 shots, right? 7 of 17. But he took 17 shots, which is great to see. If Chris isn't going to be like making his shots, I at least want to see him take it. So it means he's not getting into a wrong mindset where he's being passive or anything. No, he was still being aggressive. He was getting some points. He was getting some buckets. He was getting some tough baskets too, like that and one. Giannis was especially fired up about him getting going. The entire team was. It was great to see. It was a markedly different output than the first 2 games of the series.
Yeah, I could not agree more with your point about he's got to keep shooting regardless of anything. Like, the 8 shots was maybe the most unacceptable part of his game, too. Because if you have 2 points through your first 8 shots, you know, like we've talked about probably to an exhausting degree, he's not the kind of player who can just go, well, I'm not making them right now. I just have to stop shooting. Like, he's past that now. I would much rather see 17 shots than 8 shots, pretty much no matter what the results are looking like. I think overall, just a much better game for Chris. Like, it's just funny because he started off looking awful. And I tweeted, of course, that, like, he's not looking good. He's just looking bad. There's no real excuse. And then immediately after hitting send, he hits a 3 and he gets going. And I was like, yep, all I had to do was tweet about how bad he's been for him to turn it around. I should have known the whole time. The ultimate jinx at play again. But no, it was really encouraging. I mean, Giannis clearly, like you said, that clip was awesome. I think obvious friend of the pod, former host of the pod, Kane Pittman, tweeted a great look at it, the clip, and it's just such a cool clip. I mean, I think that's how we were all feeling, but Giannis really just wearing his emotions on his sleeve there. It was just great to see. I don't think he's all the way back. I mean, we got to see him drop like 30 now, but it seems like he's trending in the right direction, which honestly kind of feels like, no, we'll take it for sure. It kind of seems like it's applying to like the whole team right now seems to be trending in the right direction.
Yeah, everyone is not, there's not really anything you can like harp at, like just clear absent, like clear negatives in this game. Like, there's no player that really had like an insanely negative impact without providing at least something positive, unless I'm wrong here.
No, I think you're right. Unfortunately, Dante DiVincenzo gets tagged with a minus 16. He was the other guy I was really interested to talk about to you after the game. I thought he was tremendous. I mean, he ends up 6 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, and 2 turnovers. And again, the team worst minus 16. So it's not like, you know, you look and he didn't drop 30 or something crazy, even 20, even 10. He just looked comfortable out there. He looked like, he was driving to the rim.
It wasn't erratic.
Yes. Yes. He was very much in control. I mean, he made some very impressive drives to the rim and actually finished them, which was great to see. On defense, again, just absolutely a menace, causing problems all over the court for Orlando. And that had kind of picked up the last game. The offense, still a little wishy-washy. It was back in this game, and it was very good to see. I mean, this is something I think I talked about this in the Discord during the game, but this is like the one positive of playing 11 guys in the rotation in this first series that, you know, maybe should have taken more seriously game one, but clearly the Bucks aren't, I don't think, at, like, they're not going to play these rotations in the second and third round. I mean, I know it sounds silly right now to say anything definitively about Bud's rotation ideas, but I just don't think we're going to see it. And I haven't gone back. I should probably go look. I would guess it's probably similar to what happened from the Detroit series to the rest of the playoffs. But anyway, you know, if you go to like an 8-man rotation, though, right away, even maybe a 9-man rotation, based on how bad Dante is and cut him out early, he doesn't get this chance to bounce back. So maybe there is some justification for running out all these dudes in this series. Maybe.
Yeah, it's about getting in rhythm, you know, like, again, it's not great for like the latter stages of the postseason, but it's like, this isn't a normal postseason. You still need to get guys back in sort of basketball shape. I don't know how long I can use that excuse, considering every team is going through that.
Except the Raptors. Except the Raptors. 3 extra weeks.
Yep. They really
People
did.
Forget.
Didn't
they sure did.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I guess a quick thing. Nick Nurse did win Coach of the Year. Bud came second.
Yeah, Bud got the second most first place. I think 5 first place votes.
Somehow.
That's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine. I think it should have been 100 first place votes for Nick Nurse.
Yeah,
but
no, it was well deserved by Nick Nurse. Congrats to him, Raptors Nation. It was great. It was well deserved, and Bud came second, which I think is fair.
Yeah, like I said, I had like a group of like 5 to 6 coaches who I think all could have been second or third, and then clearly one who should be first, and that is what happened.
Yeah. As we're recording this, we have not gotten any other awards that have been announced, but
and there's absolutely no schedule or any idea when the rest
no
are going to
come
out.
No idea when they're going to come out. So, sorry, but yeah, what were we talking?
We'll let you know when they do, though.
Yes. No. Yeah, we will have you covered on that. We were talking about rotations, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it. Yeah. So you can't really control whether it's really like getting into game shape or not, but it's good to get guys into a rhythm. Just, you don't want to do it too much, and especially when your backs are against the wall. I think that's the main concern with what's going on here. It's like, especially after the game one loss, it's like you're losing the game and you're still going to like an 11-man rotation. Like, that's a problem. But if you're winning the series like handily, it's fine if you want to get guys in rhythm. I think it's just about like context.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And I think like the rhythm, the intensity they play with on defense, it forgives a lot. And I think the guys that they do play outside of Robin Lopez, who just is not looking like he's going to play a large role in this postseason. I think he's going to be a like break glass in case of foul trouble kind of guy going forward, because I think Brook Lopez and Giannis are such good options over 48 minutes to the center position. Just makes it tougher for Robin. But yeah, I think most of the guys have looked really good. I mean, Pat continues to be awesome. Pretty low usage game, but I think he hit both of his shots today.
Yep, 2 of 2 from the field, 1 of 1 from deep.
Yeah, just, again, continues to be an absolute sniper. Honestly, maybe we're not yet to like talking about closing. Maybe we are. I want to talk about like your ideal rotation, because mine was basically 8 guys for a while. And now with Pat playing this well and Dante seeming to return to the fold, I think it's kind of been pushed up to 9. Like, even my ideal like playoff rotation, I don't see how you can't play all 5 of the starters: George Hill, Dante DiVincenzo, Marvin Williams, and Pat Connaughton. Like, Pat has been so good. You can range him really across like 3 positions. Like, unless you have like a very unique.
Yeah.
Huh?
2 through 4.
2 through 4. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You need a really unique power forward, the kind we don't really see anymore, and the Bucks really won't see, to be too big for him to handle. He's just good. And if he's going to keep shooting threes, I think defensively he's been way more in control. He's been too good for me to say he just shouldn't play in big games. And I mean, that's a good quote unquote problem to have. But I'm curious, what do you think about the rotation going forward in like the real series? Sorry, Orlando.
If it's a real close series, I'm not sure that Dante needs to play. You know?
Yeah.
Because he's still not great on the offensive end, as great as he is on defense and his activity. You were tweeting about him being like a pest. Just like that brings a lot. But it's also like Pat's bringing it on the offensive end and like partially to the same level on the defensive end. So I don't know if I'm at the level where Dante needs to play in a close series. He could convince me as time goes on, but I don't know if I'm there yet. I'd still probably just roll with Marv, George, and Pat off the bench.
Yeah, I think that's a really solid like cross-positional selection. And again, it's so nice that like Giannis at the center has become a more utilized thing by the Bucks, because now I feel completely comfortable. Like, if Brook plays 32 to 34 minutes, totally fine with Giannis playing 14 to 16 or whatever minutes at center. Like, I mean, those lineups might end up being so good they demand more usage, particularly like when it actually, in both Giannis and Brook at center lineups, I just love the defense when Giannis and George Hill are both out there. Because there's just arms everywhere. Like, trying to pass against lineups with those two guys are nightmarish. I almost wonder, and actually, I just thought of someone else we absolutely need to talk about. But I almost wonder at this point if George Hill will end up sneaking into closing lineups either for Brook or for Wes Matthews, depending on the matchup. And I like Wes Matthews. I think he's done really good stuff. This is matchup dependent. It depends on who he guards. He's having a little trouble in this series because, like, he's a strength over speed guy. Like, he's much better on stronger forwards. Fournier loses him sometimes. Fournier is pretty quick. I almost wonder if George Hill would be a slightly better matchup. We know he's a better 3-point shooter. I don't know. I don't know if I'm all the way there. I'm still very high on Wes Matthews, who's always good in small doses and just a terrific guy to have on the team. I don't know. That's interesting. We'll see on that going forward. But there is one other guy we need to talk about. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I still think Wes brings a lot. I don't know. I'm not ready to necessarily just say that he doesn't really have a role, you know?
No, I'm just saying like absolute like closing, like 2-minute
yeah,
lineups.
Yeah, like roll in the closing lineups, I should say.
Okay, like, yeah. I'm not, to make it very clear, I'm not saying don't play Wes. Wes is awesome.
Yes. But it, I don't know. He's so solid that he's reliable, you know, like he will make the right decisions. He'll make the right plays. Sometimes he may get a little he may be a little slow sometimes, but he'll make up for it in different ways and he'll like adjust and call out rotations accordingly. So I don't know if it's necessarily like a problem yet. If that sort of occurs where like there's just a matchup problem where he's just getting just absolutely demolished, then yeah, maybe he shouldn't be there. But right now it's not like it's not bad.
It's not like that. I don't think he should be there. It's more like I'm struggling trying to figure out how to get George Hill there, and I just feel like he really belongs there. It's another good problem to have. West with a good game. Again, he took 6 shots, all of them from deep, made 3. His 3-point shot has looked really good recently, as has Brook Lopez, who also made 50% of his threes. He was 2 for 4. He had a cool 16 points, 6 rebounds, 1 steal. Every time Brook Lopez doesn't record a block, I feel like somebody just missed it. It always seems like he's blocking shots, but maybe that's actually legit in this game. Not the guy I wanted to talk about, though. Can you guess the player I think we need to talk about before we wrap this thing up? Unless there's other stuff, too. I'm open.
It's Bledsoe, right?
It's got to be Bledsoe. Bledsoe deserves a lot of credit, man. You pointed this out in the last podcast, and I was kind of like, maybe. I think he's been, outside of Giannis, maybe their consistently best player throughout the playoffs. He showed up in subtle ways the whole time. I think this was probably his best game so far. It's easy to just say that looking at the results. Like, puts up 14 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals on 5-for-9 shooting, including 2 of 3 from deep. So it's easy to say, you're just saying that because his threes fell this time and they didn't before. I thought he picked his shots a lot better. I don't think any of them were like early shot clock while Giannis is out there just pulling up pretty quickly threes. I think one of them, I think they might have all been pull-ups, but like one was later in the play after some stuff broke down. One of them was he had a big matchup on him, I think Vucevic, and kind of broke him down, and Vuce sagged so hard he just took the open three. Like, they felt better situationally, and he continues to just drive and break down defenses and both score and create looks for others. He used the threat of the pull-up three to get to the rim at one point, which particularly I've really loved to see that from him. He's just been really good. Like, he's been more than solid.
He's been really good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like quietly.
This is like his ideal role, is it not?
Yeah.
It's like,
I agree.
He's a tertiary creator who can, you know, get his own shot, stretch out a defense, and just like, you know, make good decisions and be a pest and just be an absolute like just menace on defense. Like, this is what we really wanted from Eric Bledsoe. This is his ideal role in the team, and he's actually doing it, and it's the postseason.
It is. It's been very encouraging to see. This is the dream for Bledsoe, you know, creating, using the space of the other guys and getting to the rim a lot. And of course, we haven't even mentioned it, the defense remains just terrific. I mean, he bothers whoever he's guarding. He's bothering in some way, shape, or form. Especially Fultz, who is really trying, but just struggling. And pretty much everyone in the league does, so it's not a problem. But Bledsoe has just been awesome. And I just hope he keeps up this exact level of play. You know, score 15-ish points a game, I'm totally fine with that. If they're coming on these good shots, he's setting up his teammates. I mean, 8 assists is a lot for Eric Bledsoe, but with the way he's been driving and warping defenses, he could probably get up near there consistently, and that's good to see, because then a lot of his assists and Giannis' assists in this game as well were the 3-point shots. I truly think the more the Bucks can create a little bit of inside-out game and open up those good looks from catch-and-shoot looks from three, I think their 3-point percentage is just going to be naturally higher because they're taking so much better shots, and the shooters are getting to shoot a little bit more. So, just terrific postseason so far. I think this game was the best so far for Eric Bledsoe. Just keep playing the same exact game, man, and that's going to really help the Bucks going forward.
Yeah, it's just getting better shots, better decisions, and that stems from him to the whole team, and it just makes better Bucks basketball.
Yeah,
that's all I can really say about it.
And it felt like we really saw the truest Bucks basketball we've seen in months today. By the way.
Speaking of just that term. Really was. Aside from maybe the comeback against the Heat,
Yeah, that was up there. But as terms of, and I still...
Yeah, for the majority of the game, like given they did let their foot off the gas a little in the second half, but they just demolished this Magic team.
Yeah, it was certain. The first half was definitely the best half since the Miami game. This was, and still not a complete game, but still definitely their most complete game inside the Orlando bubble so far. And this is something Marcus Johnson said before the game.
Oh, you're back on Fox Sports,
Wisconsin. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Back on Fox Sports, Wisconsin, baby. But he was talking about, you know, maybe it's good that they're not peaking early. You know, they got that jolt, like you mentioned, to wake them up. And now they're really, like, rolling into form as it goes. Like, maybe it makes it less likely that, you know, a game one against, like what happened with Boston the last time around. You know, they get a little too comfortable with the first round matchup, and then it comes back to bite them later, like that first game against the Celtics. Maybe now they're going to be a little more prepared, a little more in rhythm, a little bit more, you know, focused, aware. I don't know if they should need that, but I mean, who knows? Maybe it'll work out for the best, despite how disgusting that loss really was.
Yeah, I think you're right there. It's just, as long as they don't like peak too early, I think Marcus put it really well when you mentioning that. It's just if you can play your best basketball when it actually really matters and you're facing your toughest competition, that's the ideal. That's the ideal, and it looks like this Bucks team is on track to do that.
It does. It does indeed. So I think we covered it pretty well. I mean, the Magic I will say, shouts to the Magic, who are down 30 for multiple minutes, fought back to make it kind of a real game. I mean, they're in this series. I think they got a little lucky and they just kind of started jacking up threes on every possession. So maybe they were just kind of saying, let's get this over with. And they start to go in and it's like, oh boy, let's actually play. But they work on defense. They try really hard. They fight for good shots. Vucevic has been really impressive. Credit this Magic team who,
I think,
again,
this is better for the Bucks. Like, it's not just a walkover like Detroit last year.
Yeah, I do too. And I mean, Detroit, I think, really tried too. I just think they were a little too bad. Orlando, maybe a little better. I'm still surprised Wes Iwundu doesn't play that much. Like, he was in their garbage time lineup. I think he's a real, like, useful wing player. Maybe better served playing him than Gary Clark, although he's even smaller, which, and obviously they're trying to use Gary Clark on Giannis. We'll see.
It did not work.
No, I mean, none of their guys are going to work. And speaking of their guys, Aaron Gordon, I think, is hoping to maybe play on Monday.
Oh, is he?
We'll
I didn't
see
that.
If he does. Yeah, he's still, I think he's like healthy, but now trying to get his conditioning back. I guess they were worried he wouldn't like keep up and down the floor this game. So it's not a really ringing endorsement, like 2 days away from him potentially playing, but we could see Aaron Gordon return. I would imagine we'd probably see him at least in game five. But it sounds like we could even see him in game four. We will see. I don't think it's going to make a big difference. I mean, nobody's stopping Giannis, regardless of anything. And I don't think a winded, rusty Aaron Gordon is going to be the guy to do it. But could make a difference. We will. I mean, not a big difference, but it could make somewhat of a difference. We will see. But otherwise, I don't think I have anything else for this game. Rohan, do you have anything additional?
I can't really think of anything. This was just, it was a good old fashioned Bucks game. But I guess we can wrap up here and say thank you for listening to this episode of the Eurostep. If you did indeed enjoy this episode, please leave a rating and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Tell all your family and friends about the show, as well as checking out all of the great content being put out across the Blue Wire Network. What is it? We will be back with you after game four on Monday, which is a noon tip, I think. That sounds right.
Yeah, that's another noon tip.
Cool. I didn't get it wrong this time.
Which will probably be more like a 12:20 tip based on today's game.
What on earth? It is okay, I got it wrong. It's a 12:30 game. But we will be doing a post-game pod for that as well. But before I let you go from today, I want to talk to you guys about Bet Online. Did somebody say playoffs? NBA and NHL are playing for the gold, and our partners at Bet Online have you covered. Get in on all the action, including a new NBA bracket contest with plenty of chances to win. MLB season is pushing into fall, and there's no shortage of ways to bet with hundreds of odds, futures, and props. So take advantage of the return of sports, and remember, the casino never closes. Check it out all day, all night. Go to betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag, promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.